Now, on the line, we're going to talk a bit about shipping. There's been a lot of things going on with shipping recently. The container ships owned by the Hanjin Shipping Line in Korea were all impounded in various ports around the world, just up coming up to the Christmas stock season too, because that company went into liquidation or in receivership anyway, because they've basically gone broke. And it's one of the biggest in the world, Hanjin, but we're also looking now, there's consolidation going on in the shipping industry. Some of the Japanese lines, like NYK, that's some of the biggest ones there, they're looking at merging together. So we just got on the line now, Andrew Hudson, who's a director of the Export Council of Australia and also a partner at Rigby Cook Lawyers. Knows quite a bit about trade. Andrew, are you there on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning. Good morning. What are we in for another tumultuous year in shipping, do you think?
Oh, look, I think we are. I think what we're now seeing is a rationalisation of the industry. In part, the rationalisation is caused by external factors. So we've got Hanjin, who are subject to a court of commercial rehabilitation at the moment, and we've still got lots and lots and lots of Hanjin empty containers still haven't been returned to Hanjin, so we've got all sorts of issues with that.
So in Australia, all these containers are sitting in storage areas, are they?
Well, there are some in Australia, and there's a lot overseas at the moment as well. We've had GSS, one of a new shipping agency was established, called GSS.
Mm-hmm.
They were, having been established, they then, first vessel, they went broke with their first vessel. Well, at least they haven't been able to complete their first charter.
Gee, that's not a good start.
not a great start, and it's caused some drama.
Yeah.
So the owners of at least one of the vessels have turned around, and they have, they've basically terminated the charter with GSS, and having terminated the charter with GSS, the owners are separately contacting all the people who've got containers and saying, well, we were going to bring the ship to Sydney, but no one wants to do that, so we're going to offload everything at in Hong Kong, and you're going to have to pay extra. So the money you've already paid to GSS is gone, and you're going to have to pay us separately for the shipping.
Wow. Gee, yeah. I bet everyone's so pleased about that.
No, well, of course, there's a lot of stock there that's on its way to Australia for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so that may or may not get here, depending on the availability of freight from there to here.
Gee, they haven't got much time left, have they?
yeah, we've now got... That's a, it's going to ruin someone's Christmas.
Yeah.
On top of that, we have rumours at Hamburg, Sud, and Maersk are looking at a tie-up, and it may well be that Maersk is looking at buying Hamburg Sud, or the other way around. We're not quite entirely sure, but there are rumours between the two shipping lines.
Because Maersk is the biggest in the world, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Yes. So it may be that Maersk might be looking at Hamburg Sud. Then on top of all of that, we have the news from Japan about the three major lines looking perhaps to rationalise or to merge. Now, that's in some ways, that's a reflection of this, the state of the marketplace. So clearly, the press coming out was of Japan was three into one is better than having none at all.
Mm.
So the suggestion is that all three of them couldn't survive together. They have for many years, but not anymore. Now, that's in part a reflection on overcapacity, in part a reflection on perhaps the world economy's turning a bit, and in part of the fact that there's only so much demand which is required. So if the three merge, there's obviously lots of issues there. How will that affect capacity coming to and from Australia? How will that affect pricing? And how will that affect competition-type issues? So,
add
all those things together.
You'd have to think that competition would be lessened, wouldn't you, if you were looking at trying to, look at the best rate and so forth coming from the Far East. So,
yeah, absolutely. Mm. Well, if you take Hanjin out, no one's booking Hanjin at the moment. If you take out some of the agencies and you reduce three lines to one, that doesn't leave you very much in terms of capacity. Well, certainly it reduces the existing capacity. So they'll be very careful watching of this. Now, under our Competition Act, we have a Part 10 that allows lines to talk to one another about capacities and sailings and vessels and the like. That's being removed so that they won't be able to, if you like, collaborate. So that also points to an exposure to competition-type issues as well. So they have to be very careful how this is done. And even if it gets a sign-off in Japan, for example, and the if you like, in the home jurisdiction. There'll be some concerns here about how that's going to play out in terms of capacity and in terms of price. And all of those things point to uncertainty. All of those, and none of that's particularly good for international trade. If all of a sudden you've got a lot fewer of the carriers around, you've got less choice, and therefore that limits your ability to send things by sea.
Wow. And speaking of uncertainty, we should always, in every discussion on commerce at the moment, I always ask a question about the Trump factor. Is the Trump factor having any effect on world shipping at the moment?
Well, look, I think it is. I think people are sitting back. I think things are in place for now, notwithstanding that he's perhaps behaving in a way as if he's in charge already. He's not quite in charge yet. The first thing he's going to do, as he says, is withdraw from the TPP. But otherwise, we're not entirely sure what's going to happen. You add that plus Brexit, and therefore the concern is what's going to happen. So people are maybe sitting back and waiting till early in the new year to make a decision about what their supply, what their manufacturing is going to be, what their demand is going to be, where are they going to ship to, what are they going to be their new markets. And indeed, at this point, we don't know what the impact is going to be. For example, if President-elect Trump brings in this 48% duty he's threatened previously on imports of Chinese products arising out of concerns that China's manipulating currency. If he does that, then obviously there might be a decreased demand for Chinese products. There might be a counterbalancing action brought by China against US in terms of retaliatory tariffs. And that just creates uncertainty. People don't know where they're going to go. They don't know what's going to be. You can't plan. I think a lot of these shipping and production issues, they're all long-term issues. And if you can't plan or there are disruptors or uncertainty, that affects people's willingness to invest and to manufacture and to ship.
Yeah. I mean, even if he makes another return call to the president of Taiwan, I mean, that sort of thing can upset the whole apple cart too, can't it?
Well, it certainly can. I mean, if he's making phone calls, you wouldn't know what sort of text messages he might be sending.
So, that's right.
We have a concern.
The Twitter account's bad enough.
Exactly. So part of it is, there are different takes on that whole Taiwan thing, whether it was a show of diplomatic genius or whether it was just something very clunky done by someone who wasn't quite sure of the differences. Yeah. Either way, it does go to this whole issue of the US-China relationship and how they're going to get on, whether they're going to play nicely in the future, or whether they're each going to send one another to the naughty corner.
Mm.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that because
it's obviously an fallout
for us from both ways.
Yeah, but either way that goes though, there's going to be overcapacity for shipping worldwide. In the next year, it'll just be a question of who you're going to be booking with, because with so many mergers and people going to liquidation and so forth, it's hard to know where the best place is to pick. You know,
yeah. and hopefully there's a flight to quality, I think. But you look at what happened with the three Japanese lines are all fine lines. What it'll mean is that people will perhaps be thinking extra hard about who they book with, which means that freight forwarders who make those contracts on behalf of their clients, they're going to be looking even harder now, because previously they didn't have, it wasn't on their radar that a shipping line or an agency may go under. That's now well and truly on their radar, and it might be that they're prepared to pay extra to go to a particular shipping line or an agency because they know they've got a better chance of it getting to the other end.
Mm.
That's going to create concerns about how trade is transacted. It's going to create additional costs, and it might slow things down a little bit.
Mm.
So we've got to be aware of that. And certainly exporters and importers are going to be instructing their freight forwarders, who are thinking about it anyway, that they've got to take this into account. And indeed, whether they've got insurance in place to cover these potential insolvencies of shipping lines or the agencies.
Oh, now I'm really getting worried, Andrew. It sounds like we're heading into some troubled waters and living in interesting times.
Straight back to bed, yeah. and perhaps hide underneath it while we see what plays out. But look, I think the encouraging thing is, I think President-elect Trump has walked back a couple of his comments already. Although when you look at some of his appointments, I think his suggestion is that the Secretary of State is going to be the CEO of Exxon,
yeah,
which might make might lead to some interesting range. Apparently he's very strong in Russia, so that'll be good.
That's right, yes.
So we've got this new alliance which seems to be struck up between Russia and the US, and the FBI or the CIA making a determination that Russia tried to influence the election in favor of President-elect Trump. So it might be that you don't need a political lobbyist anymore. What you really need is someone in the Russian government to help you out.
Yeah, it might be the colourful President's Club, I think.
It might be.
Oh, yeah, Silvio,
calendar.
Silvio Berlusconi needs to make a comeback in Italy, and we've got a nice grouping happening. And Boris Johnson's always around there, you know, adding into the mix. So it'll be very interesting anyway for the upcoming year.